This is Afternoons Live with Tyler Axness on News Radio, KFGO.
Final half hour of Afternoons Live rolling on right here on News Radio KFGO. I'm Tyler Axness, your host. If you're just joining us, we're going to dive back into a conversation you and I had at length a couple of days ago. If you missed the conversation, KFGO.com, you can listen to the podcast of the calls and texts that we had regarding what, if anything, can be done to help save some of those rural grocery stores. If you're from a small town, chances are you've heard the struggle that it is to keep some of those stores open. Me coming from Leeds, North Dakota, had that experience just a couple of months ago because it wasn't economically feasible to stay open with the current climate. They've closed. Since then, I think there's been talks of maybe trying to get something to work. But it's not isolated in Leeds. It's happening across North Dakota, which led the North Dakota legislature to adopt a study to see what, if anything, can be changed at the state level to help our rural communities. One of the big drivers behind that has been some of the research and activity done at the North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives. And Lori Sapu, that has been spearheading that. So Lori joins us right now here on Afternoons Live. Lori, I appreciate you taking time today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So first off, let's start here. And I'm almost embarrassed to admit this on live radio, but I'm going to. It's not the first time I've embarrassed myself on the show. But the work that you've done with the North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives, the rural development, you're the director there. I was, quite frankly, I was unaware of all the great work that you've been doing to help lawmakers, others in the, really just the state, understand what is happening in rural parts of the state. So explain some of the just general work that you've undertaken.
In general, do you mean?
Or yeah, just
related to, yeah, oh, in general.
Yeah, just the, yeah, the rural electric development.
Sure. So this is something that the electric and telecommunications cooperatives have been supporting in our state since 1990. They contribute annually to our rural development effort along with USDA. And our focus is quality of life in rural places. So we basically provide technical assistance to people that are working on projects that will improve the quality of life in North Dakota.
Well, and one of the things that means, and it's what we're going to be talking about now, is the fact that, look, if you're living in a small town, you know, you still have to have the essentials available, whether it's rural emergency services, whether it's, the internet to conduct business, but also just your basic grocery store. And going down to some of the testimony that I had seen provided to the legislature. You guys have been working on this for 5 years, and I just wanted to dive into kind of what the general landscape is in North Dakota as far as how many have closed in the last few years and just what is the general situation if you're living in a small town when it comes to maintaining a grocery store.
Sure. So when we first started out, there was actually no list or no way to find out how many grocery stores were in rural communities in North Dakota. So we had to do internet researches and cold calls to develop that list, and we found out there were 137 stores in communities of 2,100 or less. And that 2,100 population mark is kind of unique to North Dakota. If you live in a town of more than 2,100 in our state, you feel you're from a large community. So we let that definition sit, and that's how we defined our work. And since that time, we have declined to 99 stores remaining today in that population sector. And so of those stores, 63 of them are independently owned. 15 of them are now nonprofits. So they're either a 501c3 or they're community owned or tribally owned. And then we have 26 of them that are multi-store ownerships where the owner will own more than one grocery store to improve his buying power so he can have a larger volume, buy it perhaps a little bit of lower price, and maybe get a better profit margin at the bottom. We did have, and this would be Leeds, that would be our first one that I know of a multi-store ownership that was having difficulty making its cash flow. So we definitely have a downward slope going on in our state at this time.
Well, and Lori, that kind of leads to the ultimate question. What's the what's the majority saying as far as this is what we struggle with the most? Is it profitability? Is it just getting supply? Because you know what? It takes a bit of a drive to get from, you know, say Devil's Lake to whatever community or Grand Forks for that matter, the distributor. What's their biggest concern generally speaking?
What it appears to be is distribution. And I'm not saying it's solely distribution, mm-hmm. but when you're traveling large number of miles with a small volume of product, it's going to be more expensive in those communities. We've done some testing from comparing prices between suppliers and the smaller volume you buy. You could be purchasing that product at up to 20% higher at a wholesale cost. That's just your wholesale products that you're buying. So I think the problem is getting the product affordably to those towns. And then the other thing is your volumes are smaller, so you need to sell more, right? To make your bottom line, or something has to happen so that that retailer can pay themselves. We just don't have a good profit margin being made. It just seems like the distribution system isn't really effectively serving rural places. It's more set for consolidation, large quantities being bought together at a lower cost.
Lori Sapu is our guest with the NDAREC about the rural grocery store situation going on. There's a study taking place. North Dakota's lawmakers did agree to look into this one, which I should applaud them for, because it is one of those things that maybe there isn't something that needs to change as a state, but at least the discussion's being had. Lori, I guess one of the questions before I get to it, are there other models out there that maybe we should be looking at is when we talk about having to drive as far as, you know, I mean, back in my hometown, now you got to drive 30 miles to get your groceries. Hopefully, if you're elderly, you have somebody that might be driving a Devil's Lake or Rugby to do it for you. Not everyone's got that opportunity to do that or has that luxury, I guess. So when we're talking about distance for some of these closures, is there an average? Is it growing? Just kind of walk me through that as far as how far people have to drive to get a loaf of bread or a gallon of milk.
So we define a food desert. Actually, we don't. USDA defines a food desert as an area surrounding a full-service grocery store of 10 miles or greater. So if you live 10 miles from a full-service store, it's a rural food desert. North Dakotans will scoff at that because we drive for everything, and 10 miles doesn't seem like a large distance. However, there are negative health consequences for having to drive more than 10 miles for fresh food, and that's related to a higher incidence of obesity and diabetes. And, you know, when you have that conversation about having to drive for food and that rural people are doing that anyhow, they're selecting to do that, part of that is because of price, and a lot of times in these more rural communities, they make less money, and so they do need to drive for price. They need it to be more affordable, and it's hard to believe that it's really fun to load coolers into your car every 2 weeks and drive someplace to get all your food for 30 minutes and then drive back again. It seems more inconvenient. I know you're probably going there anyhow, but you probably don't enjoy having to get your food there as well.
Well, and Lori, if you've found out a way to keep those strawberries or some of those fresh produce fresh for those 2 weeks, as some people are saying, you know, like I haven't figured that out, and I live in Fargo, you know, to where I can drive just down the street to get my groceries. So it's just not practical when it comes to having that fresh, you know, whether it's meat or like you say, the produce, to where, all right, if I'm going to load up for 2 weeks because this is the only trip we're getting off the farm because we're out in the field, it doesn't work. So then you start eating a little bit less healthy because it saves longer. You know,
exactly.
So it's and I'm glad you brought up the fact that it's economically, sometimes it's you have to go where it's cheaper. I mean, you have national studies that have come out saying, look, the rural economy's not doing so well. You're not making as much money out in a smaller town. So, you know what? If you go to the grocery store and it's costing more, sometimes it just doesn't work. Thus, what can we do as far as the state? So I guess kind of my final question, and I'll let you go, is are there other states that have looked into this that have done anything to maybe mitigate some of the impacts we're seeing in those smaller towns?
So there's a lot of work going on nationally to address this issue. It is a big concern nationwide. I've seen incentive programs come up for grants for offering healthy foods into stores or lower interest financing for grocery stores. There's a lot of that type of work going on. North Dakota is actually the first state that's going to look at distribution to rural places.
Well, that'll be very, I'm going to be curious. This is one of those studies I'm going to be following very closely as it makes its way, as I'm sure you will be
well,
because yes. With all your data, again, you know, just finding out that there's this great resource at the Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives that I'm embarrassed to say I didn't know about. You'll be hearing from me often now that I've got your number. How's that sound?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anything else about this study you want to get out before I let you go, Lori?
I would like to. There is some opinion out there that we are requesting a subsidy through this work. And I just want to clarify a little bit that we're actually trying to seek public-private partnership. So is there excess infrastructure capacity that could assist the distribution of food to rural places that we could partner with? And is it at a cost we can afford?
Very good. Laura, I'm glad you were able to clear that up, because I've got some thoughts on that that I'll share after I let you go, all right?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking some time. Lori Sapu with the North Dakota Association of Rural Electric Cooperatives. Yeah, I mean, you got the lawmakers that are going to say no to everything because they, quite frankly, just think all of it comes down to money, which isn't at all what was requested. And here's a little hint for you taking in media. I would just maybe ignore the economic advice that comes from columnists that still live with their parents, as all I'll add to that. 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. You can text the program at 35270. We'll come back and wrap up. Should the states, is there anything that you've seen successful out there when it comes to maintaining your rural grocery stores? We'll talk about it. Plus, the Drive with Jack Sunday, we'll see what's coming up on his show. But first, we'll get you caught up with some KFGO weather with meteorologist Too Tall Tom Schmansky. Stick around.
He said his greatest contribution is the ones he'll leave.